Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Lights out, faithful. You already know it's your boy EE, and I needed to make you aware of Low Tide City, which is happening May 11th through the 12th in beautiful Round Rock, Texas. That's right, in the Kalahari Resort. Listen, head over to start.gg/LowTideCity2024 because you can use the code LIGHTSOUT20 to get $20 off of your registration, or hit that QR code that you see right there on your screen as well. Again, enter that code LIGHTSOUT20 to get $20 off of your registration, and we'll see you there, man. Whole Lights Out squad, get ready. As always, guys, make sure you do check out Low Tide City. I'm excited for that event. Use our code LIGHTSOUT20. Let's turn that from a B to an S tier. Texas always does great events, so let's make sure we are supporting that. But speaking of support, it is time to hopefully be supporting one of your favorite Smash podcasts out there. This is Lights Out. And like you guys love to always make the joke, oh, Lights not here, it really is Lights Out. Well, we're going to talk about that, okay? We're going to give you a little bit of a state of Lights Out address and what we're going to be doing going forward so you guys are aware. As you guys know, we consider you all, we don't do the whole fans thing. We consider you guys homies, family, whatever you want to call it. At least I certainly do. I know Cosmos was the same way. That's just how it is, okay? We just celebrated episode 50, right? And it was a lot of fun to do, but let's just be honest. It was a shit show audio-wise. It was not up to the standards that I want to keep presenting a podcast.
It was our worst quality podcast out of all 50 episodes.
It left
bar none, not even close.
It was terrible.
Don't sugarcoat. It was hot fucking garbage. That's what it was. It was trash. And we don't want quality like that anymore.
It left much to be desired, for sure. And here's the thing about that. It's so a lot of you were commenting, like, what's that? Like that demonic sound I kept hearing, right? And so apparently that was like a byproduct of having to adjust Lights audio to make it like not terrible for the recording. And I it was just rough. So with that said, we wanted to let you guys know that Light is still very much so a member of the Lights Out podcast. Okay. He's a founding member. That's never changing. Don't worry about that. However, until Light is able to consistently put himself on a laptop or computer with a good enough microphone and a good enough camera, he's going to be bowing out right now. We know we've been making the meme about Light not able to have a house or whatever. That's not like a negative thing. We've just been memeing on it because he is in the process of finding a new apartment. So we want to alleviate some stress on him by not having to him having to worry about like his quality and his audio issues. Like, so for now, it's indefinite, and indefinite doesn't like indefinite has a really bad connotation. Like it feels like it means, oh my God, forever. No, this could be like a couple weeks, like a month at max or whatever. That Light will not consistently be here. Consistently is the word. When Light does compete, for example, he's competing at CT GamerCon. Okay. He's competing at CT GamerCon.
Is that this weekend?
That's this weekend, right? That's this weekend, right? He's going to call in and tell us about his run for next week's podcast episode. Okay. I'm just saying, like, the whole time he might not be here, but he's going to still call in talk about his run and give us his POV, just so you guys are aware of
it. The way I like to think about it is right now for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, because it's definitely not going to be, it's not going to be more than 1-2 months for sure. Because he's definitely going to, he's like really zoning in on finding a place now. But the way I like to think about it is right now, he's basically like a lights out ambassador for a while. So he's still a part of us. He's still supporting us. Still here. No, he's an ambassador.
Nigga, shut up. What are you talking? An ambassador? What?
He's an ambassador.
He's a founding member of the podcast, you Jim.
Well, right now I can't find him. All right. So I won't say he's a founding member.
You know what? I'll give it up. That's true. Like, we can't find it right now. But I do want to tell you guys some exciting things. Thank you, Charles. I see you in the chat, by the way. I did want to tell you guys some exciting things. So this episode is presented by our friends at Prize Picks. Of course, we'll get more into that later in the episode. But what it does do is it opens the door for some other kind of things we're going to start implementing next week. What do I mean by that? We're going to have more guests. I know you guys loved it when we had guests. We're going to have more guests on. We're going to have more rotating hosts on. And we're going to broaden the Lights Out experience in general. Of course, obviously, Smash is at our core. But we're going to try a couple other things and bring on a couple other guests and hosts, Smash, you know, people and personalities that you're familiar with. So it's going to be fun. Don't worry about that. And like I said, we will definitely be getting Light on call for when he does compete in events. So just wanted to kind of give you like a state of the union Lights Out address, like what the hell is going on, you know what I'm saying, and let you know we're all hoping Light's able to find a place immediately, because we want him to be able to pursue some of these content aspirations he has, and at the same time we want to be good friends and support him and not pressure him to be here when it's not a good time for him to be here. So that's it. So hopefully you guys are understanding of that. I think they're understanding of that, Cosmos. What do you think?
Yeah, of course. I mean, jokes are jokes, memes are memes. We all really do hope Light finds a place, because I know that it's definitely not nice to having to jump from place to place, like friend's house. Like, I think he's like with his parents sometimes. He's like basically all over the place. And to be able to do that and compete at the same time and have to travel, because at like his job is still being a competitor for him from way, so he can't just like put that on the back burner. He definitely has a lot on his plate. So hopefully he gets to get his life situated, and I'm pretty sure people will understand. So yeah,
no doubt about
it. He's gotta wait.
There it is. All right. So with that out the way, and with that said, ladies and gentlemen, officially welcome to Lights Out episode 51. Again, presented by our friends at Prize Picks. Make sure you like, commenting, and subscribing. Your boys just passed 50 episodes. We got 50 more in the tank, and then some, and then some, and then a lot, okay? Because we ain't stopping this train anytime soon. And of course, make sure you check out the Patreon too. I know what you're thinking. EE, guys, don't upload on Patreon. Shut your ass up. Me and Cosmos got stuff planned already with guests, and you know the rest, because we the best. Bars. All right. Anyway.
In the nest.
Yes. There it is. You know what we do. You know what we do. Now, I want to just go ahead and say something real quick. I really enjoyed this past weekend's Smash Brothers action. Okay. I'm talking about Battle of BC6. It was cool. Did you watch Battle of BC6, Cosmo? I know you weren't there.
I did watch it. I watched pretty much all of it.
Good. Yeah. Okay. About time.
At least all of like top 30. What? Top? I always watch tournaments. But yeah, I basically watched pretty much all of most of top 32 and all of top 16. So all of the final day. I actually watched Melee too.
You watched Melee too?
Just a little bit. Okay. I don't know, because I had like nothing to do, and there was a gap between like qualifying for top 8, and then there was Melee, and then top 8 for Ultimate. So I was like, I mean, if I know, I was editing a video, so I was like, I'll just have it on the background.
That's fair. People, I saw some Melee discourse talking about it's boring that IBDW keeps winning, or Cody, whatever he's going by now. They're saying, oh, it's boring and this guy keeps winning. I'm just like, listen, you Jims, just be happy that your 20-year-old game is alive and pretty much thriving. All right. Yeah. And everybody, I mean,
it seemed like crazy because he won from losers, like he lost in pools or something, and he made a really long losers run. So. That has to be pretty cool, right? Right?
I would think so. But we don't really talk about Melee here, so it's okay. But
yeah, okay.
Congratulations to Cody for winning Melee. But let's talk about the game that matters. Let's talk about Ultimate, baby. I want to start off by saying the Snake Revolution is back, baby. I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about some sort of freaking, inspirational One Piece ass post from Apollo Kage, okay? I'm not talking about MVD talking about, hey, guys, I'm live right now. Come click on my stream. Sub game, sub skip the line. I'm talking about a monkey snake who put that work in the bracket. I'm talking about her. That's who I'm talking about. All right, Hurt showed up.
It's not me catching the strays now.
I'm talking about, okay, Hurt came through, aired that whole venue out, boy. Aired that whole venue out, won the tournament, didn't drop a single solitary set, taking down the likes of people like TG, the banjo player. Obviously, had to beat Spargo twice. He beat Migi. He went off. It was very impressive. And I just want to say, I haven't seen a snake that has capped. There's a lot of good snake players, by the way. Those shots I just took were just jokes. There's a lot of good snake players out there. However, there's always the one who is above the rest in a character field. And Hurt has certainly elevated that point. I feel like we knew it before, like when we saw him last. We've seen him what he's done in Japan. We've seen how he performed at Port Priority when he did come to NA. But I feel like he just even more so solidified that. It was fantastic because I was thinking to myself, damn, this man, I made a tweet about it. I was like, this man really said, okay, Akola can't get it done. Mia can't get it done. Fine. Put that gauntlet on. I do it myself. But that it ain't snapping, bro. It's exploding them C4s all over the stage. What did you think about Hurt's performance and his resurrection of Snake?
Honestly?
No Diddy.
Because.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, I think I thought. Because, okay, so let me preface that. I'm one of the players or people in the community that am not a huge believer of Snake. I don't think he's that great of a character. I think he's a pretty good character. I think he's like somewhere in top 20, top 15, which is still a very good character in this game. But I think there was, you could definitely ask a couple of people. It all started with the crew battle. And whenever, because like America was down, or was it NA? NA was down.
Yep.
Like a lot of stocks, and then Leo brought back like 5-6 stocks, and then Spargo took 2 stocks with losing 1, and then it was 2 stocks that I forgot who they were playing, but it ultimately ended up with the last people being Spargo against Hurt on the last stock, and Spargo had 2 stocks, Hurt had 3 stocks, I think, and Hurt just started cooking him. Like, he looked like he was dead ass. If Spargo had 3 stock, he would have 3 stocked him in that crew battle too. That's how crazy it looked. So, and I know you're making that face, but that's really what it looked like. So it started in that crew battle, and when I saw that, I was like, "What?" I thought the person that would be hardest for Spargo, I thought Spargo was going to win. Obviously, I thought the person that would be hardest for him was Doramigi, because Min Min, Spargo plays characters that just get ganked by Min Min. But I was like, if Spargo does run, I think Spargo would end up beating Doramigi, but if he runs into Hurt, I don't know if he's going to be able to beat Hurt, because Hurt looks like he was playing on another level just from the crew battle. Like, he looked like he was prepared for every situation that Spargo was running into.
He was tapped in.
That was the first time. Snake players are obviously very good at getting their confirmed, doing grenade stuff. Hurt is way more aggressive than the other Snake players. And the thing that was crazy is that a lot of these Snake players just nickel and dime you, and like, they live for a long time so that they kind of scale and balance their like their percentage. Like, they live till however, like 190, and they do, like, you combo Snake a lot and he nickels and dimes you and does a lot of damage, like 20% off one hit, but he also kills you pretty early. But Hurt was, anytime he hit you, it felt like he was doing 50-60, so you lost like half your stock whenever he hit you with one grenade or one grab or anything. That was probably the craziest thing that I saw about him. So whenever you play a Snake like that, if he hits you once and he takes half your stock, and then you have to go through all of his traps, that, because Hurt had a lot of traps, that's when Snake looks like a top 10 character. That's when, this is the tournament that I felt like Snake could actually be a top 10 character from watching Hurt.
You're right. You're right. And I agree with that. I've not seen a snake that impressive play since like Ally. You know what I mean? Like, in my opinion. And I feel like Hurt is what he would have potentially been, minus the, you know what, he potentially could have been if the meta kept evolving and he kept playing the character. Like, this is the new age snake meta. And I feel like, wow, like he's perfected it. And there was instances too where I would notice he would change his play style as well. Like, it wasn't all just simply grenade camping. Like, there would be exceptions where he would, I think he went up against Syrup and he would have to opt to utilize way less nades because of how Ness functions as a character, right? So, like, okay, his ability to adjust the game plan, like, for every, like, opponent was just impressive. And I gotta give Hurt, a lot of love for that, man. That dude is on another level.
And he was like, I know how they were also doing interviews like after basically every single set, and one of the interviews, Hurt literally went on the interview and said that, yeah, all the snake players, I'm an offensive snake player. I like to play aggressively. All the other snake players are pretty defensive. So what I would like to see is other snake players use grenade offensively. So it's like he basically called out every snake player saying, y'all need to stop sitting in the corner and run up on these motherfuckers and dash stack and start fighting, because Snake can fucking fight these niggas.
He was definitely fighting Spargo. That was a very entertaining set. He was
fighting Spargo.
Bro,
like, no cap.
And I will say this, because I've said it on commentary before, like, Spargo, like, he actually spot dodges a lot. Hurt was catching that shit, bro. He was catching that shit. So that's how you know he wasn't, because if you spot dodge, you're usually up in front of somebody's face. That's how you know he wasn't on the other side just waiting and just, you know, just chugging and you know what I'm saying? He was in the fray, baby. He was in the fray. And it was very impressive to watch. So congratulations to Hurt for winning Battle of BC. Definitely looking forward to seeing how some other snake players are able to kind of adapt some of his, like, the way he incorporates. Now, I know, like, people like MVD and Apollo Coggins that are going to be doing analysis, and I think that's really good. It can only help up your own games, and I'd love to see that for our NA Snake players. But as well as Hurt did, as well as Spargo did, it is something we need to discuss. There was more people in that top eight. I'm going to bring it on the screen right now for you guys to see. Doramigi did sensational. Yep, he did sensational. His first time here in North America, to my knowledge.
Bro, the way he assembled Riddles in like 7 minutes was diabolical. That was atrocious. And I feel it, because Min is a character I hate the most. Not even just in this game, out of any Smash game. There are definitely other characters that are more broken than Min, like Bayonet in Smash 4, Braum Meta Knight, Steve in this game, but Min bends my reality, and she bends my reality of this game. And when I watched that set, it looked like Riddles was on a different plane of existence. There was one game where Riddles literally lost in 59 seconds. I was like, they're not playing the same game. They're playing two completely. Riddles is playing Tekken, and Doramigi is playing Arms.
Yeah,
they were playing two completely different games.
I would agree with you. Doramigi was sensational. Riddles was in that top eight. Got to give him some love. He did get past Ouch before he did arrive to take that ass whooping from Doramigi. Doramigi. So that is important to note. So shouts to Riddles, because he won the pre local. You know, the pre local curse. You do well at the pre local. You get your ass whooped in the main bracket. Nope. Riddles got a solid top eight finish, so congratulations to him, alongside his fellow Canadian brethren, being Ouch. Yep. And we're going to talk about Ouch later, because that's my guy. That's my man, 100 grand, my boy Ouch, the bounty hunter. We're going to talk about that a little $100. Bit later. We're going to talk about that a little bit later for sure. Yoshidora going back-to-back on Battle of BC appearances and getting top eight, so not surprised about that. He's just sensational. But the two characters that definitely made a big impact was Base Mage, who got here through losers over a crazy comeback against Armadillo. Armadillo really choked that one away, but Base Mage clutch as hell in game number 5 with some offstage shenanigans on the FD against his Lucario, and then TG as well qualifying through losers after losing to Hurt. So that was, I think, Puff and Banjo gotta be the two big on your radar characters for sure. What did you think about Puff and Banjo making top eight?
I mean, Bass Mage is Bass Mage. He's a very motivated player. I can see that. I can see in the way that he presents himself, the way that he prepares, the way that he shows that he prepares and wants to like project that he is prepared for anything.
Yep.
And like, I don't really. Jigglypuff is still like an anomaly for me. I don't really know how good that character is. Because apparently I hear things like Jigglypuff beats Min Min and then Bass Mage gets destroyed by Doramigi. But then I hear Jigglypuff can lose to random characters like Armadillo and, or not Armadillo, Lucario. And then he ends up just bringing it back and winning that to qualify for top eight. So I don't really know what to say about Jigglypuff. She's a very interesting character because she has a lot of combos, but if you know how to position yourself against the character and if you specifically have a sword or a range, it looks like Jigglypuff shouldn't be able to get in against you.
Yeah.
And you really shouldn't be able to do anything. So I feel like Jigglypuff is probably a gatekeeper kind of character where I don't know if I want to say Jigglypuff's mid tier or high tier, but if you play a losing matchup, you should lose. That's how I feel about Jigglypuff, and that's what it looked like. As for Banjo, that's something I want to talk about because I used to live with, I don't know if people know about Hakaru. He used to be my old roommate when I lived at Loft. Whenever Banjo came out, Banjo was his favorite video game character, so he started maining Banjo. So I got to practice with Banjo a lot because he was pretty good. And then I also played with Tweak online whenever he played Banjo, actually recently, like last year. So I played as Banjo a good amount. So I feel like I was pretty good against Banjo. And then I went to Japan and I played Turtigiri in friendlies for like an hour. And I definitely had the edge over him. We were still like going kind of back and forth, but I was definitely winning the most. And I feel like he at Battle of BC, I feel like he's smart. I feel like he's really, really smart to understand that these motherfuckers weren't gonna know what the fuck to do against Banjo. Nobody in this country knows what the fuck Banjo was doing, besides maybe ESAM, because ESAM lost to Tweak's Banjo back at Glitz. So maybe he knew. But other than that, nobody was gonna understand. So he was straight up robbing people with Wonder Wing the entire time. He was recovering for free. He was getting a lot of damage. He was pulling grenade for free. And all of his gimmicks were working against every single player. And I think that's why I think he lost to, I don't have the bracket, but
he lost to her
and
Yoshidora.
Yeah, he lost to Japanese players, which makes sense because Japan has a play against them like whenever they go to tournaments in Japan. So America definitely lost a matchup inexperience. And it's funny because I started seeing the discourse on Twitter about, yeah, Banjo is not the worst DLC character. This character is broken. I tuned into Aaron's stream and he was just complaining about Banjo. Like, why does Banjo have 5 Wonder Wings and 1 stock? He should have like 1. It should have twice the amount of startup. Why does Banjo's attacks have like, why are they so much better than they are? I'm like, bro, Banjo is not. I don't know where this discourse is coming from. Banjo was not that real of a character. You guys need to calm down. Take it back a step. You can't see one tournament. Turtigiri is really good. He's really fucking good. He would be better if he played a better character because Banjo was mid as fuck. But yeah, that's where I stand with that. Banjo's not a good character. Don't get your hopes up. Don't get tricked. If you ran into Spargo, he was probably going to get 3 stocked because Cloud Banjo is horrible.
Okay.
That's all I have to say about that, honestly.
Okay. Well, congratulations to Bass Mage and the cheeser Turtigiri for being able to get top 8 spots. I want to talk about, I have a couple different things I want to branch off from that with, but we'll keep it TG real quick since we're talking about matchup checks. Yeah, I'll give it to you. You matchup check my goat. You got Leo. Okay. I'll give it up to Lemon too. Lemon actually took a game off TG where Leo got 3-0. It happens. Okay. Because who's actually playing that character? Okay, this is what I'm talking about with the ability to practice against high-level characters. Japan got players cream of the crop with all 80 something of the characters, okay? Here in NA, we just struggling to get more than two or three solid character reps or whatever. It happens. I get it. Goat will bounce back, okay? Obviously, Leo.
One thing I actually want to talk about Leo real quick.
I'm talking about Leo, so hold. I'm speaking on my goat.
Go ahead.
So he loses the TG, gets dropped down to losers, proceeds to lose to another Japan cheeser by the name of Ron, okay? Hell, kind of name is Ron, all right? Go collect my freaking McDonald's money, Jim. Anyway, so Ron cheeses it out against Leo. Now, Leo has some culpability here because Leo was stubborn, okay? Leo was stubborn. He didn't need to stay by the whole time. Joker should have made an appearance, I believe. I think Joker should have made an appearance. I think Joker wins that set for Leo. I think Byleth cheeses the game. Awesome. Joker wins the set. Just my opinion. But let me tell you something. For any of you people out there running your mouth and talking, oh, man, I beat MK Leo. Ha ha. Maybe you might have missed it. But EE put out something. Okay. Did you see the EE hit pace? Hit piece. Cosmos.
I did. I was there for it.
I'm going to let people know right now. Okay. I'm putting the word out. If you mess with my goat, you got to go. $20 bounty was placed at Battle of BC on the head of one Ronald, last name McDonald. Well, either way, you got plenty of money for some chicken nuggets, or at least my boy Ouch certainly did, because he claimed that bounty and took his ass all the way out the bracket right before.
Did he actually take the money?
He DM'd me. He didn't want the money. He just liked it. He said, you're my favorite commentator and thanks for the support.
Damn.
I'm still going to buy that guy lunch next time I see him, okay? So, Ouch, avenging Leo. We love to see it. Good job. Let that be a notice for any of you other gyms who come after my goat. Go ahead, Cosmos.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I started to think about is I do think Leo is still like, whenever I think of Leo, I still think of him as somebody who is compared to Spark. Like, they are in the same tier of player.
Right.
But for some reason, like, Leo just doesn't really do as well or play as consistent. And I feel like one of the reasons could be because Spargo kind of figured it out. If you look at the character Spargo is playing, he's playing Cloud, which is a very basic character. I'll say Cloud is very basic. Like, he has a very basic game plan, rather, is what I'm saying. He plays Aegis, and the way he plays Aegis is he plays very basically. He just whiff punishes and just out characters you. And then he also started playing Corrin, which is also another basic character. You just outrange your opponent, get them in the air, and just juggle them for centuries.
Important note about Corrin, too. He used Corrin to defeat Riddles in top 8, too, so in their semis. But
yeah. So the character lineup that Spargo has is he's playing characters where he doesn't have to overthink anything, and he just sticks to his game plan, and he's like, okay, well, this character is good at this. I'm just going to capitalize on my character strengths and beat my opponent with it, because if I get into my win condition, I will win, essentially. That is how Spargo plays. The way Leo plays and the characters he plays is difficult in this meta because you have to do a lot of mental gymnastics against a lot of people. Like, if you're playing Joker against Yoshi, you're going to struggle to get anything started because you have to play mid-range. Joker is like the mid-range god with gun and everything. And then he basically has a kill with Arsene. But it's hard for Joker to get his win condition as consistently as the characters that Spargo plays, like Cloud, where you just have to back her in corner. Aegis, where you just out-character them, out-frame them, and Corrin, where you just like get them in the air and just juggle them. So I'm not sure if that's something that Leo should look into, because he also plays Byleth. Byleth also isn't that streamlined, because you have to have very good spacing. You have to get them at a very specific scenario, and you're pretty slow. You don't have that much aerial mobility to juggle as well. You don't have that much good frame data. And then the other character he plays is Aegis, but he plays Aegis very Pyra-based, which is why he doesn't really do that well, because Pyra doesn't have the best frame data either. She doesn't have bad frame data, but obviously she's not Mithra. So I feel like I don't think Leo should drop Joker, but I think he should just What I think is that he should just start playing more basic and not try to overthink things. I do think he should mess with playing Aegis more. I feel like if he went Aegis against the Banjo, he probably would have won. I think if he went Aegis against, he lost to Roman. If he went Aegis against Yoshi, he probably would have won. That matchup is really bad. And it's also like, just get in on them and hit them and don't let them land. Those are two characters that can't struggle to land. Pyramithra is probably the best character to juggle in the entire game. So I do agree with you saying that his character choices are still a little bit iffy, but I do think whenever he figures it out, he is still on the same tier as Spargo. He just has to figure out his character choices and his game plan choices.
I agree. Skill-wise, absolutely. Consistency-wise, not quite there. You know, people kind of pointed out, too, yeah, the Byleth looked a little rusty. And then, you know, oh, but he beat Dark Wizzy with him earlier. So, anyway. So, anyway. I think what Leo needs to do is just have a consistent rotating cast of characters, okay? And I, in my opinion, just keep counterpicking these people, okay? You win off the fact you're just godlike with your skill and your character just wins that matchup, okay? Start incorporating that counterpick, Leo. That's what EE says, but you're going to bounce back, GOAT. I know you're going to bounce back as per usual. It's not like Leo hasn't even been, like, good. Like, he's won a major. He's been consistent with his results. Like, he's fine. Like, not everybody's going to make top eight every single time, okay?
And he's definitely still motivated.
Exactly. And that's amazing. You know what I mean? A perfect example of, you know, not being able to make top eight every time. Or in this case, I'm top 24. Gluto. Oof. We got to talk about Gluto. Listen.
Woo. Yeah. I want to go for that first. And I want to say that, yeah, I will speak for Light on this, even though I didn't even talk to Light about this. I know this is what he would say. Whenever Gluto has to run into an obscure character that most people don't know anything about, he folds. And
we
Gluto
talked about that on the last week, remember?
Exactly. Yeah. Gluto is a player that he needs knowledge and experience against the character to be able to prosper. And I don't think I've ever seen a Lucario step foot in Europe ever. I have no idea if there's a Lucario that has, if there's even a secondary Lucario, anybody who has messed with the character in Europe. So I don't know if Gluto knows that. I mean, he clearly didn't with the way I was seeing him play against Armadillo. So that was unfortunate, but also he just kind of folded to Ludo. Losers. Yeah, he just kind of lost to Mario, and I think it was, I don't know if it was 3-0, it might have been a 3-0, but it, like, he just, maybe he just was really frustrated after the Armadillo lost, and then he played immediately and then lost to Ludo, but he's definitely experienced against the Mario matchup, but maybe that matchup's just really bad for Wario, so I'm not entirely sure. It's unfortunate how he did.
I'm going to tell you my thing with Gluto, okay? Now, I want to preface this. I know Gluto has these Switch controllers, like using the GameCube
Pro
controller or whatever. But what about the other tournaments that he attended, the other majors that he went to? I think this is Gluto's like third time missing top eight. Okay. I don't think he was on a new controller the whole time, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I'm saying? So I look at how he did at some of the Japan events, you know, varying results. And then I look at how he did at Genesis, you know, not bad, but didn't get there. And then I see like his worst finish ever here at Battle of BC. He's going backwards. Gluto is going backwards. And I don't know if it's an issue of just like, okay, my hands have been bothering me, right? My hands have been bothering me, which sucks. So, I mean,
he's been playing for a long
time. Listen, because Gluto's such a, like a, he looks like kind of like a young guy. Like, no, Gluto's been playing for a long time. You know what I mean? And so, again, you know, you start the year off right. You got like third at Umibora, and then like there was 17th. He got at like Kowloon. And then again, missing out on top eight at like a Genesis. He didn't go to the King Kong tournament that was in Paris. I think he was taking a break then. Comes back to
Battle of BC. His hands probably hurt.
Yeah. And then, you know, got sent out of bracket very early. And I think this is just, I don't know if this is a byproduct of, okay, my hands, like, I've been playing for a long time. I play a pretty demanding character in Wario. Got to be pretty precise. I don't know if it's a byproduct of just all those years of strain, and that's why he's changing controllers, trying to adjust it, which could rejuvenate it, you know what I mean? Or Like this game is just, this is a tough ass game now, bro. Like even your
tough ass game,
even your average player can cause an upset. And I'm not saying like Ludo's just like an average player, but like, you know, Ludo's not somebody I'm seeing in the top 20, you know what I'm saying? But I know he's a good player. You know what I mean? And then he lost
like Armadillo too. Like yeah, Armadillo too. Both players that he lost to.
And I don't just want to write it off as it's just, you know, cheese. And maybe it is, or maybe it is just cheese, but I don't want to just write it off like that because I don't want to discount their wins because those are really great wins. But I was worried for him at the pre-local when he lost in winners. I think the Yoshidora and then just dropped out of the bracket. I was like, oh, he's not even going to finish the bracket. That to me was a sign like, okay, I don't know if he's going to have a very good battle at BC. And then the crew battle, Armadillo whooped his ass there. And then there were people like, oh, it's just a crew battle. And then it played in bracket. I was just like, I think it's one of those things that sometimes Tweak has to deal with where he, like, you'll get upset sometimes by like the mid-level players. But you are a terror to the high and top level players. You know what I mean? I think that applies to Gludo big time. So
I think that also applies to the character. That's why I feel like if you looked at the bracket, Spargo, like if you look at this tournament and Collision, I don't know how Genesis went, but Spargo just, he doesn't lose games until he's in top 32, top 16 against top players. I think that's also a byproduct of his character just being able to always have his win condition pretty consistently.
Yeah.
Wario's win condition is generally waft. Like, he doesn't really have the best range. He's not, like, the most mobile. He's pretty mobile in the air, but he still has to get in on you to get into close quarters.
Correct.
Like, that is kind of similar to Tweak, where he's playing characters like Diddy Kong, where you could just play someone like a Samus main, like Yauda. Like, well, Yauda's pretty good. Like, those kinds of characters where they're kind of obscure and weird to play against, and you have to have a very specific game plan. And, like, you have to position yourself perfectly. You have to stand here. Whenever they do this, you have to do this specific input to get around this. Whereas someone like Spargo is like, I don't give a fuck what the fuck you're doing. I'm just going to jump at you and back air you because you can't do anything about it because your character sucks. So I feel like that's a byproduct of Gluto playing Wario, obviously. I don't think Wario is a bad character, but I do think he needs a game plan that varies differently against a lot of different characters. Like, a lot of different characters. Cloud backers, like, 70% of the cast.
Yeah.
Wario basically has to have 70 different game plans against 70 different characters. That's why I feel like the mental toll it takes to play characters like that, or Diddy Kong, can be very tough to do that at the mid-level.
Yeah, it's not easy at all. But definitely, Gluto, we hope you bounce back, my guy. Keep playing. Hope that controller switch works out for you. I don't know if it's more aerodynamic or dynamic, whatever that word is. That's going to help you play a little bit more efficiently. So
aerodynamic is that?
Yeah, that too. we're rooting for you. But to put a bow on this tournament, it was a good event for sure. I do wonder, like I always have it in the back of my mind, like, because there were so many people that had to DQ. I know, like, Bloom was originally scheduled to go. Lugi, that's some Europe representation there. I know Send, Jackal, Onin, Sonix, Light, people like that. Like, you just wonder, like, how that bracket would have looked different. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that we couldn't have got the same results or that we wouldn't have got the same winner. It just would have looked, I feel like it could have looked, the paths could have looked a lot different. And but I think that showdown between Sonix and Hurt that people I'm sure want to see now is
I do want to see that actually, because
that's gonna be crazy when they finally meet up at a tournament.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of times where that happens where it's like, oh, Akola needs to play Sonix. Sonix washes him. Like, was Sonix ever gonna figure out Spargo? Sonix finally beats him. Sonix Leo, Sonix 3-0s him. But this is a match where I feel like the matchup's also different too. I think Snake can do pretty well against Sonic in general. Like, I think Sonic beats Steve. But Snake, I feel like Snake is the character that can beat anybody. And I really do want to see that. I feel like that would be a very exhilarating set to watch.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm taking Sonic's all day, every day, twice on Sunday. And I love Hurt. I love me some Snake. No Diddy. But I'm saying Sonic is spin. Stop
saying
Sonic. It's culturally relevant. I'm saying Sonic's is walking that ass down, and I do hope. Who would you bet on to win that? Just real quick, who would you bet on to win that?
If I were to bet, if someone put a gun to my head, if I had to bet, because I don't know who would win, I would probably say Sonic's too.
Okay, there you go.
Because Sonic's is probably one of, if not the best player in the game right now at edge guarding, and Snake is basically a sitting duck off the stage. Kurt does have a lot of mix-ups with his recovery, which are kind of crazy, but I don't think Sonic's going to care about that. I think he's just going to backer him whenever he bees, and he's just going to die. Or he's at least going to take 100.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go ahead and get yourself 100? Because it's time to talk about today's sponsor, that being Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America with the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll on in. Guys, football season's done. We got the Final Four heating up. March Madness, all right, even though it's April, okay? But you have to be a fool to pass up on this deal, baby. It's time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. And guess what? They even offer insurance. Injury insurance, so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured for basketball games. If you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. So if you're a fan of getting into the action, make sure you download the app today and use the code LIGHTSOUT for your first deposit match of up to $100. You heard that correctly, boys. Download the app today. Put in that code LIGHTSOUT and watch your first deposit match of up to $100 get matched. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks.
Yo, can we actually talk about how, speaking of Prize Picks or basketball, can we talk about how LeBron just made 9 out of 10 threes like a couple of days ago? That was fucking crazy.
I think that LeBron, you know what's interesting about LeBron? And that is for our basketball fans out there. You know what's interesting about LeBron? As his athleticism, even though it doesn't really look like it that much, but as his athleticism has waned, he's actually done what people always say, well, you got to get better at something else. His three-point percentage is, if he was shooting three-pointers like this in his prime, like 8 to 10 years ago,
Oh my God. There
might not be a debate about the GOAT. Even I'd have to give that up. There might not be a GOAT debate at that point, because a lot of those finals he was in, he probably would have closed them out.
Yeah, it's crazy that right now it almost seems like, I mean, that's how you know the Lakers are still kind of struggling from outside, because it kind of seems like LeBron is their most reliable three-point shooter currently. Yeah. So it's kind of crazy. I don't like how people are saying, oh, well, LeBron has a higher three-point percentage than Steph Curry. Curry's shooting like 7 more threes a game than LeBron. Obviously, going to be lower. It's still comparable, which is crazy, obviously showing that Curry is a way better three-point shooter than James, but it's still crazy that he shot 9 of 10 threes in one day. I don't know if Curry has done that. Listen, he probably has.
Yeah, I don't want to get into, well, I think he was a game record with like 13 or 14. So, yeah, I don't want to get into the whole, you know, talking about the Lakers too much, because that's what all these other sports sites do and these sports shows, even though we should be talking about teams that are actually guaranteed in the playoffs. But yeah, if you're a Lakers fan, good for you, but go Clips. Anyway, let's go on to our next topic.
Well, the Clips are definitely going somewhere and might not be the playoffs.
Watch your mouth, you slut. Anyway, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Luminosity has announced that they will First be having an invitational. Oh, shut up. They will be having an invitational. Okay, this invitational is set to take place the weekend before Level Up Expo, okay? They dropped it on April Fool's. They kind of made it like a little joke of it, like, oh, yeah, he's actually retiring and stuff like that. But it actually turned out to be an invitational announcement. So I wanted to know what your thoughts on another invitational, and who would you like to see invited? It's a $10,000 prize pool, by the way. So that's pretty awesome on their end.
Invitationals are weird. I still don't really know how invitationals work for the ranking system, because I know whenever the player cards come out, they say, oh, this player got this place at Summit, or this player got this place at this Invitational. So it's like, do they, and they say like the Invitational is an A plus tier. So it's like, you, if you get invited, you're automatically guaranteed 13th at an A plus tier Invitational. I don't really know if that's how that works. I don't know how it works. I might ask someone about that later on, but sure. This, I want to see her at the Invitational. I want to see him just start going against top players consistently now, because I feel like this might be a breakthrough for him. He could actually go back to Japan, be like, yeah, I'm that nigga now, and just start farming people there too. I feel like he could actually start doing pretty well against a Cola too.
Does Hurt have the pass?
Of course he has the pass. Giving him the pass. That motherfucker never had the pass. But he can only use it once.
Okay.
Some other people can use it forever. But yeah, I would definitely want to see Hurt there, because that could be where Hurt plays Sonics.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you right now. So I know the invited list as a LG member. And I gave them some critiques because I gave them some critiques because I was like, okay, we default have Sonics there because Sonics is an LG member, right? Yeah.
So you people have all LG members.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a surprise. Oh my god! But people just hate. Sonics is an amazing person and he's a great player, but people just hate Sonics so much. So I was like, you should counterbalance that by making sure the invitees are all hype players. I think they did a pretty good job, though. You're gonna see when they release the invitational list, probably like at least two names. You're just kind of scratching your head. You'll eventually figure out why it makes sense, but you'll be like, oh, okay, sure, but. I assure you, it's going to be a great event. We're going to get a lot of good content out of that. And spoilers, me and Coney are going to go. I'll just give us a little spoiler of that. Me and Coney are going to go. So you're going to get Coney back on the mic alongside your boys. So that'll be fun. So we do have some good things planned with that Invitational. So I hope you guys will be on.
Coney's last tournament till SmashCon.
Low key.
If there's even SmashCon, it might be his last tournament, period.
So I actually have some information on SmashCon, okay? Now, we're going to move on to our next topic. The fact that Akola is still... Listen, I said a couple weeks ago, I put an APB out. I said, Akola, where you going? Where you at? You know what? Turns out he's just not in North America. Okay, so Akola continues to duck the North American competition and dominate in Japan. He just won a tournament over Asimo and Umeki. And I want to give a shout-out to somebody who got top 8 at that tournament, Ike Player. I think her name was Tao.
Ike
Player. Her name was Tao. Am I saying that right? Chat, help me out. But she got top 8. Tora got top 8 at that tournament. I was watching that because I was restreaming it. Oh my goodness, she is amazing. Like, holy smokes. We need
Ike like day one ultimate MK Leo. Ike,
she was good. Like Ike, like she was throwing some hands, had full control of that sword. Knew what she was doing. It was crazy to see. So shout outs to Tora for getting top 8 at that tournament. I just want to say that. But Akola, you know I like you, Akola. You know we cool, bro. We ain't got no beef. But
that's
need
my son.
Where you at? Where you at, man? What you need me to get the flight? I'll do it. I'll do it right now. Take light share of this podcast revenue. That'll probably cover at least the in-flight meal. Ain't gonna get you a ticket, but we'll get you an in-flight meal. You let me know what you need to get you back here, Akola, because I'm looking at you, brother. I need you back. I know they're coming over there at Kagaribi. What you doing for Level Up Expo? I'll get you a hotel right now. I'll get you too. Send me the DM.
So is Leo confirmed for Kagaribi? Because I keep hearing that. I know Spargo's going. I don't know if Leo's going. Do you know if Leo's going?
I think he is going, yeah. I think he's confirmed. Okay.
That'll be... Great. I mean,
him getting some revenge on their territory. That's what I like.
Yeah, it would be great if Spargo won twice in a row and it was Akola Spargo grand finals again. That Kagaribi is definitely going to be great. Akola still just seems like he's doing his thing, not missing a beat. He's still winning tournaments. He's still playing the way that he usually plays. He's still very consistent. I know he's just busy with school and everything and probably other things going on over there. But I definitely want to see him come over here again, because I know people are definitely much better against Steve than they were in the past. So yeah, that'll be definitely fun to see whenever he does come here, but he needs it to come over here again.
Well, apparently it's going to be a little bit of an NA invasion over there at Kagariga. I've heard Meister and Zamba are confirmed going. Big D and Jazzo and Base Mage. Okay,
Charizard's always fucking in Japan. Why is he always there? He was there last time too. What? And the time before,
nigga. Who are you? You're one to talk.
All right, but listen. All right, I'm Japanese, so that's different. There's a difference. All right, I'm Japanese. I'm Mexican, and I'm black. So that's different. He's just there because he's just there. I don't know why he's there.
All right. I'm gonna give that up to you because I'm probably not in a position.
Nihongo wakarimasen, nigga.
Watch your mouth. Don't talk about my mother. Anyway, listen. Okay. I want to say this. I'm excited. We're going to always be previewing Battle of BC or Kagaribi a little bit as more names drop and anticipation gets closer and closer. It's like the first weekend of May, isn't it? So that's going to be, that's going to be super dope to see how that unfolds. But yeah, so we got some names unfolding on that and we'll keep you guys up to date. Last thing I want to talk about is a preview of this weekend's tournament. And through that preview, actually, remember I told you guys at the top of the show, we want to start incorporating guests again and kind of like making up for the fact that Light's not going to be as active at the moment, but we'll have him on next week to talk about his run. But he's not going to Diamond Dust. You're going to Diamond Dust. Leo's going to Diamond Dust. I think Shattuck. I'm going to pull up the screen right here so everybody can see. Shattuck, MK Leo, Riddles, Nao, Onin,
Riddles Shiny is
Mark.
Going.
Yep. Shiny Mark, The Buzz, Beast Mode, Paul, Cosmos, and Big Boss are your top 10 seeds. So how are we feeling about that, Cosmos? Specifically you, because you're competing.
I actually didn't even know Riddles was gone. That's pretty cool. That's what it I'm says. Excited because I'm definitely, I feel like I'm mentally at the best I've been in a while in the game. And also physically, like I feel like I'm playing very well. Nice. So I'm very excited. I don't know if bracket's up yet or when bracket will be up. I really hope I play one of the Corrin players or both of them because I really want to expose Corrin. Like, I still don't think Corrin is an amazing character. I do think she's good. I don't think she's incredible, though. So I definitely want to play both of them. And I want to get my run back against Leo because I was playing very well at Collision, and I ran into him, and I just lost 3 games in a row. So
Cosmos,
that made me a sip.
Is this Corrin rhetoric going to be our
Is
this vendetta or this denial of Corrin being a good
character? I don't
character?
Have a vendetta.
Let me finish. Is this going to be our new version of that bet that we kept making about top 8? Is that what we're going to just keep lingering for every episode? I'm just curious because you seem to really have it out against these Corrin players.
I don't understand. No one listens to me. I keep saying Corrin's pretty good. Shattuck is very good. He's literally a top 10 player right now. He's really fucking good. Nao's very good. But I don't care. I would beat them if I play them. So if I play them, I'm going to beat them. Then everyone will shut the fuck up. And if I don't beat them, I will get on my knees and apologize to both of them.
Okay. First of all, brother, we don't get on our knees to anybody. Okay. But secondly,
that's facts, actually.
You can give the apology. I need this to happen. Diamond Dust TOs. And shout out to Diamond Dust because I know that it's like in part a charity event too. So when I do my restream for it on Sunday, we'll definitely be pushing their charity aspect of a lot. Want to give a big shout out to them. I like that aspect a lot to the Diamond Dust people. But Diamond Dust folks, TOs, organizers, whatever, I need you to seed him into Nao and then from Nao into
Shattuck.
I need this to
just
happen.
Do it.
Okay. And I'm going to message Shattuck too because I think it's time that we get Shattuck on the podcast. So he's competing this weekend. I would love to have Shattuck come on next Tuesday and actually be on Lights Out. Would you guys like to see Shattuck on Lights Out next week? Because I think I can make it happen. Usually when EE slides your DM, you know what I'm saying, you usually respond. I'm just throwing it out there. I even DM'd Spark earlier today. I was like, yo, you trying to come on the podcast? He's like, man, I'm down, but I already made some plans. I'm not trying to break them. I was like, I got you, King. We'll get you on another time. So, you know, when I slide that DM, you already know where to show up. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, Shattuck and I are still, like, cool. And, like, anytime we see each other at a tournament, we talk and stuff. I actually messaged him the other day saying, like, yeah, I'm very happy that you're doing well and everything. He's just, like, cool. Like,
if I have any questions, Not people in the chat. Not people in the chat saying sure. Y'all. Oh, okay. Hold on. Where is it? A second. Hold on, let me. Here it is.
Sure for what?
Here it is. Here's my DM with Spargo. I said, hey, buddy, would you be interested in talking about Battle of BC experience today? Hey, already made plans today, so unfortunately, I won't be able to make it. So for you motherfuckers talking about I'm just capping, nah, bruh. Just because you can't get that DM answered by little Betty Boop in your high school class or whatever, your college exam, all right, don't mean that DMs from Big Phil go unanswered, okay? It don't matter if it's the pros or the bitches, okay? They hit your boy back.
That's actually record time, too. He responded in an hour. That's crazy. Come on now.
Don't play with me. Don't play with me. We don't do that. We're not doing that, chat. We're not doing that. But yes, we would love to get Shattuck on for next week. But besides yourself, because obviously you should always root for yourself, what are your predictions to maybe win that tournament? Again, you got some heavy hitters like yourself. You got Shattuck. You got Leo, Riddles, Nao, Onin, The Buzz, Beast Mode, Paul, Shiny Mark. There's a lot of good people at this tournament. Icy Miss is down there too. There's a lot of good folks. So there could be like some upsets and stuff like that. What are your predictions? Yeah.
Besides myself, I think it's almost guaranteed Leo Grand Finals. I think so.
Okay, I like
that. I think he's actually very, very good against all those characters that are going to that tournament and all those players that are going to that tournament. I know the last time that he played Shattuck, I think Shattuck won just like a long time ago, was... It might have been last year at Let's Make Moves Miami. But that was still like a while ago when Leo was honestly in what you would call a quote-unquote slump. And he's definitely out of that now. Like, he's definitely more motivated now. So I think Leo is definitely due for another grand final. And I think this is definitely that tournament. A dark horse, I would say. I don't know, actually. Me. I guess.
Yeah. So when we say dark horse, we're usually talking about people who are seated outside of the top eight. So you're ninth. So I think, yeah, I'll pick you as my dark horse to get top eight too and do really well. So easy pick there. I know Leo, they're saying his bracket's pretty rough. He's seated into like Shiny Mark, which is a great Pikachu, and then Riddles. I think he lost to Shiny Mark last time they played offline at Collision last year, I want to say. So I know he'd like to get some revenge there. And he hasn't beaten Riddles in like their last two or three encounters. So I know he'd like to get some revenge there. So I'm saying GOAT does GOAT things. And he's in winner's finals of that tournament. And maybe he takes the whole thing. We'll see what happens. We will be watching. Cosmos will be competing. And it will be definitely a good show. But honestly, maybe Beast Mode Paul will be my dark horse too. If he wasn't already seated in top eight. But he's eighth. So I'm gonna let that rock. So. Some upsets will have to happen, but I think Cosmos will deliver a couple of them. Just like we hope we delivered a very good episode for you here on episode 51. If you're just tuning in for the live version of this, like I said, we made some changes are going to be happening over the next couple of weeks to a month. But we are doing everything for the benefit of the show. And we hope you guys are enjoying it, man. We're trying to be as consistent as we can. We're actually going to record some Patreon content, get that up at the end of the week too. So lights out, still rolling strong. Light will be here when he can, but we're going to be bringing in rotating guest hosts and keeping those same good vibes, energy, and laughter that we know you guys have become accustomed to enjoying here.
Sir.
That's it?
Yeah.
I left the floor for you, and that's all you? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're pathetic.
Nigga. Ego wakare masen.
No, you're not even saying anything.
Arigato.
Okay, anything pertaining to what I, you know, you got it. Cosmos, the he plays almost two characters. When you think of Pirate Mythra, they are two bodies. And he has multiple languages. Wow, this guy's insane. We'd love to see it. So we love to see you guys too. So make sure you like, comment, subscribe, because you should always know the vibes when it comes to the Lights Out squad. Thank you all so much for watching. We're going to end the episode there. And we'll see you for episode 52 featuring... Hopefully Shattuck. I'm going to hit him up and see what happens.
But as I've already shown. Of Diamond Dust.
That would be perfect.
Which will be me, because I'll already be here. And then we'll also have Shattuck, because why not?
Stop yapping. We're still recording. See you guys.